Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Heavenward bound.
going to be just like that in heaven. We won't want to stop singing. Amen. Be just exactly like that. Welcome, church. We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd encourage you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Look us up on YouTube. Type in Church, capital Church, of capital Christ, preaching, capital preaching. Church of Christ Preaching. Go on there and subscribe. We need 10 more subscribers, members. We need 10 more and we'll have our 100 subscribers and we get our own URL. We'd invite our worldwide audience to join us this same time and station next week and worship with us from the safety of your home. We want to encourage you to have a house church and to join in and worship with us. We've been studying the book of Acts. We're going to study the conversion of Cornelius, the first Gentile convert today. And so if you open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 10, the story of Cornelius and its aftermath of the Jerusalem church occupies a lengthy and significant place in the book of Acts. It couldn't have happened sooner. Yet nothing that's happened in the book of Acts is of more importance and of greater significance for the future of the churches of Christ than what we're to study today. As we see how the book of Acts is unfolded on Pentecost, at Jerusalem only Jews came and obeyed the gospel when the 3,000 came. By blood, the half-breed Samaritans were part Jews and were circumcised in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Although he was a Gentile by race, was Jewish by faith, and a full Jewish proselyte by circumcision. Saul, of course, was a Hebrew of Hebrews. But Cornelius is a pure Italian of unmixed race, a Gentile, and a God-fearer, but not a proselyte by circumcision. Moses had forbidden religious and social relations with Gentiles, and the Jews applied this Mosaic segregation severely. The Gentiles were equal in their contempt of Jews and their rejection of the Jewish people. The gulf between Jew and Gentile surpasses even the race relations between whites and blacks in the last 60 years in this country. Well, in fact, since the Civil War, there's been problems in race relations in this country. But I've known of it for 60 years. The conversion of Cornelius and his household was a breakthrough worthy of the word revolution, yet it was nonviolent and God was behind it all. The repeating of the story in Acts chapter 10 and 11 really shows its importance. We're going to pick up with Peter. The story picks up with him in Acts chapter 9, verse 43. You remember he's been evangelizing, and that's where we left off last week in verse 43. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. 800 years before the Apostle Peter was even born, Jonah fled to Joppa because God had told him, go preach to Nineveh to repent because I'm going to destroy Nineveh. And Jonah was a bigoted Jew and he didn't want those Gentiles in Nineveh to be saved. And he fled. He went the opposite direction of Nineveh. He went exactly the opposite way because he wasn't about to preach to a bunch of Gentiles. Got himself swallowed by a whale. Now, Peter is called from the same town of Joppa to take the first step in the gospel to the pure-blooded Gentiles. And it's in the 10th and the 11th year since Pentecost, and Peter has grown in his acceptance of men. He was psychologically ready for more light from God. God had forbidden Jews to socialize with the Gentile nations, and he had done this in order to bring Christ into the world from the Jewish race. Now that that's happened, now that Christ has come, the middle wall of partition is to be broken down, and they were to be united, both Gentile and Jew, in the same family of God. Tanners, who Simon Peter is staying with, were despised because they handled dead animals, and when you touched a dead animal, you were unclean to the Jews. So we're going to begin in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. We'd asked our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com, and we want you to tune in same time, same station next week and have a church in your home, no matter where you're at. An amazing thing, I'm going to stop chase a rabbit for a minute. But from midnight until 8 in the morning on September the 1st of this month, 3 days ago. You know, if we had a body somebody murdered laying right here, it'd be a great tragedy. But numbers, 35 dead in Houston so far, that's just a statistic. You can't see that. You can't feel that. Well, from midnight until 8 in the morning, all kinds of people came, hundreds and hundreds, in fact, well over 1,000, almost 2,000 came from places that we don't know and we can't tell. But this is just what we can tell. 91 people came from the Czech Republic, 68 came from India, 9 came from Armenia, 9 came from Canada, 9 came from Italy, 9 came from Lithuania, 6 came from Malaysia, 6 came from South Africa, 5 came from the Russian Federation, 4 from Indonesia, 3 from France, 3 from Ghana, 3 from Vietnam, and 1 each from Austria, Germany, European Union, and the Netherlands. They listened to 108 sermons and downloaded, we'll never know how many written lessons. This is bigger than what we ever dreamed.
Amen.
And I started talking to you about world conquest, this church with nothing and God. We can take nothing with God and we can do everything. I started talking to you about that in 2006. I looked it up on the web the other day. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. A Roman cohort was composed of about 600 men. Many of the conquered nations, when Rome conquered them, served as mercenaries in the Roman army. Verse 2. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. You see, a devout man is also, throughout the book of Acts, we're going to find, they're referred to as God-fearers. And this is a term that's used in the book of Acts. And it always means those who have abandoned heathenism and begun practicing the morality of the law of Moses, along with holiness, and they've turned to the one true God. But they had not become Jewish proselytes by circumcision, but were trying to worship the one true God. The greater part of the first Gentile converts were made up of these types of people we're going to find in the rest of our study in Acts. Jesus taught redemption was for the vile as well as the virtuous. But this is the first Gentile whose life God has captured, and he exemplifies holiness in his walk before God. To this particular heathen, as the Jews would refer to him, or sinner, no Jew could object on the grounds of his character. Regarding his morality, the mouth of every bigot Jew would be shut. His one problem was strictly racial. He was uncircumcised Gentile. He was a peer of the finest Jew. The sole issue was, is the gospel to be offered to the Gentile as well as to the Jew? Or is this a race matter? Verse 3. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked upon him, he was afraid. And he said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. See, God does hear how people pray and how they give and what you do with your money. Verse 5, And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, for he lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Isn't it amazing? At most places, people today would meet Cornelius, and they'd say, Oh, you pray all the time to God? You give your alms? Well, welcome, brother. We're glad to have you. And he'd say, Well, I don't feel saved. I don't feel saved yet. Well, we'll all gather around him, have a prayer meeting, and we'll help you pray your way through. Well, the Lord said that he needed to do something. And he'll tell thee what thou oughtest to do, because he still ought to do something, even though he gives a lot and he prays a lot. And he has a perfect life before God. In the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, the angel appeared to the preacher and sent him to the inquiring sinner. In this case, the angel appears to the inquiring sinner and sends him to the preacher. In both cases, the only work of the angel was to bring the two men face to face. In this case, as with Saul, the sinner is not saved by the sinner's prayer, but rather prayers are answered by referring them to inspired authority within the church. As Saul was told, go to Damascus to be told thee what thou must do. And in the case of Cornelius, send to Joppa, and he'll be told thee what thou oughtest to do. The answer these two men got should be all that we should expect to get today from prayer, and that is a referral to a real Christian who will teach you the Scriptures. Verse 7. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, a devout soldier of them, and waited on him continually. He was a big shot, in other words. Verse 8. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. We'd encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Same time, same station next week. Let's have a church in your home. Gather your neighbors in to listen with us. Verse 9. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. The Jews had 3 hours of prayer during the day. The third hour, 9 in the morning, the sixth hour, 12 noon, and the ninth hour, 3 in the afternoon. The men from Cornelius started immediately in the evening when they were told by Cornelius to go, when the angel told him to send at 3 o'clock, and traveling all night, they would near Joppa, about 30 miles distance, the next day at the sixth hour, about 12 o'clock. Now, Peter's on the housetop. This is a place for relaxation. It's really cool by the Mediterranean Sea, a beautiful place, nice breeze blowing on him. And so, verse 10. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. And while they made ready, made his food ready, he fell into a trance. A number of things suggest Peter was being pushed towards the Gentiles. He's away from Jerusalem evangelizing, but in this episode, the Gentiles, God took the initiative. Peter didn't seek the Gentiles apart from the urging of God by visions and so forth, step by step. On Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, back in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached that the gospel was for those afar off. And so when the people ask on the day of Pentecost, what must we do? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, the people standing there, your children, the next generation, and all they that are afar off, the Gentile nations across the sea. Now he said this under the inspiration of the Spirit, but he sure didn't know what it meant, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But Peter didn't intend to make the first move without God's urging. Acts 10, verse 11. And he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending to him, as if it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. 12. And therein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air, unclean things to Jews, buzzards and snakes and bugs and stuff that Jews can't eat. 13. And it came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, no, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. God's most difficult task was to get the Apostle Peter in the presence of Cornelius, a Gentile. Verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again a second time, what God has cleansed, that call thou not common. Peter saw the vision as a testing. No, no, Lord, you're not going to catch me off guard. I'm on my toes down here now. I know better than that. I know better than to eat that kind of stuff. Verse 16, this was done 3 times, and the vessel was received up again to heaven. And then came the shock. Verse 17. Now, while Peter doubted within himself what the vision which he had seen would mean, behold, the men that were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. 18. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, now notice we got angels involved in this. Now we got the Holy Spirit involved in it. And the Spirit speaks. And the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. See, it said that he thought on these things. But the word is really stronger than thought. It says that he thought through these things. He meditated on these things. What could this mean? What could this vision mean? Verse 20. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I've sent them. In other words, this is from the Lord and not from man. I've sent them. Notice the personality of the Holy Spirit here. He refers to himself as I. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Verse 21. Then Peter went down unto the men which were sent to him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause thereof that you are come? 22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee unto his house and to hear words of thee. So you see, they needed to hear some words. The barrier is broken down. The middle wall of partition is now coming down. The new spiritual temple, the Church of Christ, is not going to have any division. In Greenville, Texas, back in the 50s, this is a sign that was on Main Street. It said, Greenville, Texas, welcome, the blackest land and the whitest people. And outside of town, the Ku Klux Klan had a sign that said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. These were called sundown cities. And if they caught a black person inside the city limits, they'd kill them. Now, this is in Greenville, Texas, all the way up until 1964, I'd say. I've seen that sign. This is a temple. And in the temple, the court of the Gentiles, Gentiles could come here in this. But this partition right here was called the middle wall of partition. And no Gentile could enter past that. And this is a temple here. This is a court of the women. And this is a temple here where the priests and the sacrifices went on. And so Gentiles had to stay out here. And there was great segregation between them. And there'll be riots later in the book of Acts that we're going to find. This will show you again the court of the women, the court of the Gentiles, and then you'll see this middle wall of partition, the temple built in the court of the women. This is an inscription that came from Herod's temple that has been found, and this inscription says, no one of alien racial stock may proceed within the balustrade around the sanctuary and encompassing court. Whoever ventures inside shall be responsible for his own death. Now, you think them guys weren't bigots. They didn't wait till sundown to kill you. They'd kill you day or night. They'd catch you in there. So, you see, this racial stuff, this problem has been a problem throughout all of history. This is nothing new. God is always trying to get people together. Isn't it wonderful here? We're half black, half white, and we have some Spanish and Latin people here, Mexican people here. How wonderful. People are people. I fought against segregation all of my life. I have known that this is wrong. I heard an uncle use the N-word one time, and I was horrified that he would say something like that. I've had fights with my own people, man, but I'm going to tell you something now. I've been called white boy more times than you've been called the N-word. And it's just as insulting to me as it is to you. And so all of us need to cut it out and stop it. We're brethren. We all bleed red blood. You remember, did y'all ever see that Archie Bunker show where he got a blood transfusion and he was behind a screen and the guy spoke the perfect Queen's English? But he was a black guy. They took the screen down, and Archie likes to have a stroke, man. You know, I used to love to watch that because it made such fools out of bigots, you know. It really did. And the guy that played that part, he really wasn't a bigot either. He'd have to stick his tongue like that to keep from laughing. Jews murdered Gentiles any time, day or night, they caught them inside there. Verse 23. Then he called them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, because the journey had been long and they had journeyed all night long, walked all night long, he invited them in the house and let them stay. And man, that was a big step for a Jew to invite a Gentile into the house. Then Peter returned with them, with six Jewish brethren from Joppa went with them. Now, the law of Moses says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses will every word be established. And Peter took six witnesses. He doubled up. He didn't want to take any chance of him being accused by all them other Jews of doing something wrong. He knew that he was going to get in trouble out of this. There's going to be deep trouble from the white folks when he got back to Jerusalem later on. Verse 24. And on the morrow, after they'd entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. We ought to all want our kinsmen and near friends to be saved too. Verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, for I myself am a man." Showing again that Peter was not the first pope, because he didn't accept worship like they do today, and they always have. Verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. 28. And he said to them, "You know how that is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." In other words, this is contrary to Jewish tradition and customs. Moses had forbidden intermarriages and religious intercourse between different religions. They weren't to worship with people of Baal. They weren't to worship with people of Ashtoreth and all them false gods. But the Jews carried the restrictions beyond the letter and the spirit of the law. Verse 29. "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. And I ask, therefore, for what intent you have sent me." Having gotten to the Gentile home and treating Cornelius as an equal, the social barrier has been shattered, but now what? Verse 30. And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, at the ninth hour, and I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." 31. And said, "Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God." 32. "Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he lodges in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, and when he comes, he shall speak unto thee." You see, prayer takes words also and obedience. In other words, remember back in Acts chapter 10, verse 6, he had said, "He'll tell thee what thou oughtest to do." He needed to do something. I want to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And be sure next week, tune in, same time, same station. Invite your neighbors, your friends, and your family over. Have church in your home. Sing. Listen to us on the radio. Get your preaching. Pray. Take the Lord's Supper. Gather up a contribution. Don't send it to us. For God's sakes, do good in your own community with it. Buy Bibles with it. Help people in your own community. Get a house church started. We know that we've established over 10,000 house churches because they're signed up with us on the web and have come every month for the past year. There's no telling how many there are that can't get it to web. You know, there are a million radios in Africa that can't hear anybody but us for 2 hours every Sunday morning. You know that? There was a preacher out in California, and he decided that he was going to buy 1 million radios for Africa and tune it just to his station. And so they're all got a little hand crank generator on it, and you can only hear 15.825 kilohertz. It's all you can hear, no other station. And he sees a beautiful woman. He's a guy about my age. He sees a beautiful woman, and he marries her, and he goes toes up in about 2 weeks. He dead. And so we got his station for 2 hours every Sunday morning. Isn't that wonderful? There are 1 million radios in little villages in Africa that have no electricity, that can't hear anybody but the Main Street Church of Christ for 2 hours every Sunday morning. And there's no telling how many people in that village. That radio's probably the biggest thing in that village. There ain't a car there. Verse 33, and immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well in that thou hast come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee. In our ignorance we need the knowledge of God, and in our darkness we need light. The Old Testament had said that the Messiah, when he comes, would be a light to the Gentiles. One of the servant passages in Isaiah 49, verse 6, and he, God, said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, that Jesus should be his servant, the Messiah should be his servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his name was changed to Israel, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee, give is like a sacrifice, I'll give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mightest be my salvation to the Jews only. Is that what that says? It says, thou mightest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. God has always wanted all people. He created us all. He's always wanted all people to be saved. Every soul before God has the same standing and the same word. In the 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus had thoroughly opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, according to Luke 24. So they knew all about his death, burial, and resurrection, and its benefits for the Gentiles. And Peter knew all about this, but he was not about to make the first move. He might have imagined that it would take generations or eons to bring the dreaded goyim. That's the N word for us white folks, and you black folks too. That's a Jewish word for Gentiles. But finally, he has been forced into a situation that he must preach to Gentiles. God has ordained that men announce to men the gospel or the good news. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What this means is that God has given the gospel to men since the Great Commission. God, an angel, or the Holy Spirit has not told anybody anything about how to be saved. If you want to be saved, you've got to go hear the gospel. You've got to hear a gospel preacher, or you've got to read your Bible. There's no other way. You're not going to get struck by lightning, and you're not going to hear any voices. What Peter preached was essentially what he preached on Pentecost to the Jews. There's nothing Jewish or Gentile about the gospel message. It was human, it's not racial, it's not national, it's timeless, and it's universal. God's word of redemption and salvation is to all men everywhere. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. We need to all remember that, because a lot of people are going around in the Christian world today saying that, well, before the foundation of the world, God here could see all through history, and he could see that he wanted so forth to be saved. He wanted old Kelly to be saved, but he didn't want Patrick to be saved. And he wanted old Wally to be saved, but he didn't want Kenneth. And so he chose some people to be saved, and he chose some people not to be saved. And those people that are chosen to be saved, they can't do nothing to lose their salvation. And those people that are not chosen to be saved, they can't do nothing to be saved. If you believe that, why in the world would you preach? If you believe that, why in the world would you teach anybody? You could never save a soul. There'd be no such thing. Free will is what Peter is preaching here. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't like me any more than he likes you. We're all in the same boat here. Verse 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted to him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Remember that clause. Verse 37. That word I say ye know. What? Well, Cornelius already knew that Jesus was Lord of all. Peter presumes that Cornelius already knew that. And see, it just shows you how far the gospel had traveled ahead of the preachers.
People already knew. All those people that were on Pentecost, that were went back to their homes, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Pontus and Cappadocia and Asia, on and on and on. All those people went back and took the gospel message, but they took it mainly to Jews only. And Jews told others. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. 38. How God anointed Christos is the word there. The Hebrew word is Messiah. How God Messiah Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. He was not just a spirit being. He wasn't a spook. He said, touch me, feel me, for a spirit hath not flesh and blood as you see that I have. He was resurrected in a resurrected, glorified body, a body like we're going to have someday. We don't understand it, but when we get there, we'll understand it. Of us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. 42. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he which is ordained of God to be judge of the living and of the dead. Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead. He does it right now today. He judges the living. When you goof up, he's going to put his foot on your neck, and he's going to punish you. When you're good, he's going to bless you. And when you die, you're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 43. To him give all the prophets of the Old Testament, in other words, witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And so here, believe is used as a synecdoche key, a part for the whole. It's not talking about how you to be saved. All you got to do is believe, because he didn't say a thing in the world about faith and repentance and confession and baptism. It's just a synecdoche key, a part for the whole. I'm just working to get a roof over my head. Well, you want more than a roof, don't you? You want walls around your house. You want a bathroom in there. You want a kitchen. You don't want just a roof over your head. It's a figure of speech, and just like believe is used here. Verse 44. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Amazing thing. I can encourage our radio audience to go to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You can find us on YouTube. Go to Church of Christ Preaching. Capitalize Church, Christ, and Preaching. Tune in, same time, same station. Invite your neighbors over. How's a house church in your home? And while he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them which heard the word. Why did the Spirit fall upon the household of Cornelius before baptism? It's the only time in all the Scripture this thing happened. What demanded this special manifestation of the Spirit? Acts chapter 10, verse 45. And they that are of the circumcision, those bigoted Jews that were with Peter, six witnesses, and they that are of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. That it was unbelievable and unexpected is clear from the amazement of the six witnesses. They were astonished. Gentiles accepted by God? It cannot be. One only wonders if they rejoiced or if they were sad like Jonah. You know, Jonah was sad when Nineveh repented, pitched a fit. Acts 10:46. For they heard him speak with tongues, languages, and magnified God. And it's always possible to judge the design of a tool by observing to what use it is put by the skilled craftsman. In this case, the skilled craftsman is God. Is immediately upon the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles. Peter speaking, he's preaching now, he's speaking under direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, turned to the six Jews and asked, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? To ask the question was to give the obvious answer. 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. In other words, stay with us a while. The Holy Spirit coming upon Cornelius demonstrates by the miracle of languages was to convince these narrow-minded, resistant disciples that they had no right to refuse the Gentiles their place in the family of God. The six brethren who are witnesses must be convinced so that they might help Peter convince the Jerusalem church. Acts chapter 11, now comes the sequel. How can the reception of the Gentiles be told to the Jerusalem church in order to get a favorable reception? Christ gives not only vertical salvation with us, between us and God and Him, but He gives horizontal fellowship and brotherhood among us. We're supposed to be fellowship and be brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what race we are. And, you know, I forgot to tell you, that Greenville sign that you saw, you think that we hadn't come a long way, we really have. The psalm leader that'll be here next week is from Greenville, Texas. Him and his wife can't have children. He's adopted, I believe, two black children and one Oriental child and one white child. Isn't that wonderful that Greenville, Texas could have that big a change in 60 years that a generation later, there's just not any bigotry in this man's heart. He'll be leading your singing next week. Look at his family if he brings them. Sometimes they go to church there at his home church. Sometimes they come here with him. What a wonderful story that is. The Gentiles must not only receive the gospel, but must be received by the Jews in Jerusalem as brethren. If no distinction is to be made on whom the gospel is offered, then distinction cannot be made afterwards after they receive it. Those that get the same Holy Spirit before God have the same standing as we all do. Please go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We got a 250,000 hits from that website last month. We get almost 3 million hits a year on that website. And guess what they did last year? We added it up. They downloaded 1,764,000 written lessons. Most of them 10 pages long, my sermon. Some of them 50 pages long, books. Acts 11:1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. The Jewish Christians who were at the church in Jerusalem was entirely composed of these types of people. The Gentiles of Caesarea were the first uncircumcised people to be admitted to the church. The apostles in church generally accepted and understood that Jesus was the Savior of the world, but they thought that all that came to him must accept Judaism and be circumcised prior to baptism. How deeply rooted their ideas is shown by Peter's own case, what it took to get him to Cornelius. It is therefore no wonder that his actions were called into question by these Jews in Jerusalem. 11:3, saying, "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them?" Some of the Pharisees who believed saw nothing in the gospel that called on them to abandon the law of Moses. They were concerned. Paraphrase, they said, "You ignored the traditions of the fathers and treated those people as socially equal." 11:4. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, so the issue introduced by the Jerusalem critics was racial and social. But Peter deals with the problem, again by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as though it dealt with receiving the Gentiles for baptism. Verse 5, "I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance, and I saw a vision. And a certain vessel descended, as if it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. 6, upon which when I had fastened my eyes and considered, I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God is cleansed, thou call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again unto heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea to me. And the Spirit bade me go with them. See, the Holy Spirit's involved in the thing. Angel and Holy Spirit's involved. Nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. I got my six witnesses here. Don't blame it all on me. You talk to these guys here too. And these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, 13. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all our house shall be saved. Have you ever met just the finest guy in the world that you just can't imagine him being lost, but he just doesn't know Jesus? We all got to have a Savior. Drop down to Romans 3:10. It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way, and they are together become unprofitable. For there's none that doeth good, no, not one. From God's standard, you can't judge us by how much good we do here. You can't compare yourself to me or anybody else or what you used to be. You got to compare yourself to Jesus. And if you compare yourself to Jesus, we all fail in the comparison. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Acts 11:15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Notice that, as on us at the beginning. Now when we go back and examine in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 16, Peter stood up and said, This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. What does all flesh mean? Does it mean kangaroos get it, monkeys get it, squirrels get it? No, it means all people. But on the day of Pentecost, only Jews got it. So it was necessary for Gentiles to also be baptized in the Holy Spirit to fulfill the prophecy of Joel 2:28 and following that we see Peter quoting here in Acts chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Now back to Acts 11:15. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as upon us in the beginning, verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said that John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. 17. For as much as then God gave them a like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? 18. And when they heard these things, they held their peace. There's three verbal clauses here in this verse. They held their peace, one. They glorified God, too, saying, Then has God also to the Gentiles, the third clause, granted repentance to life. The real objection was muted. The conclusion that repentance unto life brings and the quality of benefits of fellowship. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com and be sure and tune in same time, same station next week. Get a whole house full of people over at your house and have a house church. To baptize a person or refuse to eat with them fails to recognize the significance of baptism and the meaning of redemption and what remission of sins mean. Notice the three verbal clauses that we talked about. First, they held their peace. The first indicated that the criticism was stifled. Second, they glorified God. The second says that even for a believing Jew, for a Gentile to be of equal value to God was astounding. They just couldn't hardly believe that God could love Gentiles as much as he loved Jews. They couldn't believe it. Third, that God granted repentance. This third clause is of special note by its structure. It is an aorist tense verb. Luke points out that these believing Jews were reluctant to adopt such acceptance of the Gentiles as a policy for the future. The verb indicates that they thought that this was probably a one-time deal. But for this once, they concluded that God had worked a moral miracle. But they weren't committing themselves to a permanent principle of accepting Gentiles into the church. It'll be years and many struggles before Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul is saying that you were Gentiles. You were down here. You were away from this covenant of Israel, this covenant of promise that was given. You were down here, but there's a way now for you to get up here. Now, the argument of these Jews, let's quickly cover it. Paul is saying that the covenant of promise was given in Genesis 12. It was reaffirmed in Genesis 15 that Christ was coming through the son of Abraham, a descendant of Abraham, to save the world. But circumcision's not given to Genesis 17. Then the law, which was 430 years after Genesis 12, can't undo the promise that God made that he's going to save everybody through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:12 again. At that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Today you can become one with Christ too. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason for you to be lost. You could just march right down to the front right here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ and have all your sins washed away. If you're here this morning, you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ.
Thank you. Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.